This time, let's turn to the Word of God, Psalm 92. A psalm, so says the subheading for the Sabbath day, a psalm full of thanks, Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Thus far, Psalm 92, the word of God and the word of God with regard to Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Day, Sabbath days, every day in between, and also and always, because there's a word here, this word that I would draw your attention to this morning for a few moments. The first word, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Yes, it is indeed. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Our fathers in America recognized that. And so it was decreed, you know, at the very dawn of our country that there should be a national day of thanksgiving to God once a year. Spiritual fathers of the church have always, and even today, do encourage thanks to God in the family and churches as well. They encourage the thanks and the thankful heart among the people of God's good pleasure. And in our text, which is says here, the fact that it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, we are given here great motivation and reason for giving thanks simply because it is good. And in our day, we need this great motivation and we need this great direction from our text. When it says it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to our God and who is the Most High, we are directed here. We are instructed in a very rich truth. We are led upon a path that is very important for us to follow. You see, we live in a thankless age. And in a thankless age, people may, after a fashion, be giving thanks today in America or wherever else thanks is given. But so often, it is thanks not to God. And therefore, we would have to conclude from the text and the rest of the scriptures that theirs is not good thanks, however much they may acknowledge that they have some dependency on some higher being. In the land, we're witnessing a tumultuous time with riots and looting and all sorts of chaos. And people really, and you get this from the commentaries, don't you? Not really understanding the difference between good and evil, and certainly, therefore, not understanding that it is good to give thanks to the Lord. We ourselves have a problem. I want to cut to the chase and be real with you today. At least, maybe I'll be only real with myself because I have this problem. I need to be encouraged in thanks, but I trust you do too. We can so often be thankless or only partially thankful and worry about flies in the ointment and worry about all of the difficulties of life and forget and even leave off the great and important task, that is, that we are called to give thanks. And as the Bible reminds us, this is in everything. Somehow we should discern reasons to give thanks always, because it's good. It's always good to give thanks to the Lord. And so, in the midst of the temptation to grab, in the midst of the temptation to complain, and because even we leave off forgetting who God is and how great He is, this text, it is good to give thanks. And I want to just entitle the sermon here, Still Good. It's still good to give thanks to the Lord. And also I want to say that I find here in our text a sort of spiritual compass. You know, children, what compasses are? They're those devices for mapping or for finding your way in the woods. Used to do that quite a bit in the scouts and so on. Well, always at the compass and at the top of the compass, there's a big N. You know what that stands for? It stands for north. Well, that will help you, this compass will, if you know how to read it, to find your way, to know where you're at, and to get out of the woods if you need to. Well, the Bible is like a spiritual compass, and so is our text. And our text even points us to the spiritual north, which is a G, and that's God. But right under the word God is GT, or the letter G is the letters GT, which means good thanks. And I want to submit to you that our text is pointing us and directing us in that direction toward God in the way of giving thanks. And so if we're lost, we need to be oriented again toward the letter G and toward walking up, not east, west, now the north or south, but walking up. And this, our text reminds us, is in the way of giving thanks. Well, it is good. Several things about this good thanks, and why it is good to give thanks to God. I have four or five reasons why it's good to give thanks to God. First, because we owe it to God. We can give nothing to God, but He gives everything to us, everything we need, everything that is wonderful and good, and for His praise and for, well, us to be grateful. So it's becoming. That's the first thing we have to remember when we're thinking about giving thanks. Not it's useful. Not that the day of Thanksgiving is good so that families can be brought together from east and west and north and south. That is a good thing, but especially it's good to give thanks today and always because God is worthy of our giving Him thanks. That's why the Bible, which is full of God, you know, it's the revelation of God everywhere, calls us to give thanks. I just want to look at some of the texts with you. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Part of that involves calling upon God in the day of trouble and receiving the promise, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. But there's a psalm, Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving, pay your vows to the Most High. Then you have that psalm, which was our call to worship, Psalm 100. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations. And you can find, and maybe that would be a good exercise today, you can find in the whole of the Psalms and the Old Testament, the psalmist and godly men and women and children, full of thanks to God, calling others to give thanks, and God calling them to give thanks. But then when we go to the New Testament, the thanks, of course, is all the more magnified because God has been blessing us so much in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, for example, says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when you pray, it's with thanksgiving, as if God has already answered your prayer. And the wonderful blessing of that attitude, those kinds of prayers, the thanksgiving, is that the God of peace then is with us. Do we pray that way? Is that our chief part of thanks, to pray to God with thanksgiving? That's what the text commends us to remember. You think of Colossians 3, for example. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's Christian thanks. Giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Well, you have 1 Thessalonians 5 reminding us that we are never to leave off thanks. 5 verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And to name no other place than these, I want to go to heaven with you, and that's Revelation. The book of Revelation reminds us, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders remind us that we are in heaven and we are to be in heaven with them who give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne who lives forever and ever. That's Revelation 4. Revelation 11, verse 17, has the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fall on their faces and worship God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned." So there it is. It is good to give thanks. And there used to be a people that recognized this and that was full of thanks. And there still is a people that recognizes this. And there will be a people and strange creatures even in heaven who will worship God and give thanks to God because it is good. And basically it's good because, as we said, God is God and we are not. And he is the giver and we are recipients. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift, James 1 tells us. He's the giver, well, of the greatest gift. Do you know that? Do you know that, sinner? Do you know that on this Thanksgiving Day that the greatest thing we're here for is Jesus Christ? The unspeakable gift of which the apostle says? You can hardly utter it. The desire of the nations, the one who is fairer than 10,000, Jesus Christ is given. He is the one who is the rock of salvation, who's given to lay down his life for sin. He's given over to the wrath of God for your sake and for my sake. Do you realize that? And thanksgiving is and ought to be for all of the blessings now the risen Savior pours out from heaven. And the salvation is celebrated in the psalm before us when the psalmist says it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare the loving kindness of God in the morning and the faithfulness of God in the morning. This is a loving kindness and a faithfulness of God that he shows in Jesus Christ. We can go on and on about this. This is the reason why it's good to give thanks to God. God is God. And he has blessed us abundantly in Jesus. Secondly, it's good simply because God tells us. This is something to remember. It's good when you feel like it? No. It's good to give thanks to God because he tells you. And all of the commandments of God are good, aren't they? And God's very wise. He says, now you give thanks here and there and everywhere. You give thanks on the top of a hill. You give thanks in the valley. You give thanks in the blessings that you think are coming your way because things are coming your way, but you also give thanks to God in the blessings of God taking things away and maybe even people away that it's wise of God to do. This is good to give thanks. It's good. God says so. It's good also because it's our delight. You know that. And children, this is what we want to see in you. It's good because you love to give thanks, not because mom and dad tell you, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. You see how silly that sounds? We give thanks, well, because as the psalmist, the Lord has made us glad. Verse 4, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. God has made us happy. That's why we give thanks. It's the best thing we want to do. Before even you dive into the turkey, or you play football, or watch football, or whatever you're going to be doing today, remember the best thing, the good thing at the heart of life. Give thanks to God. So you see, it's all about this attitude responding to God's own attitude. This wonderful love to God responding to God's love for us. So it's good. There's another reason it's good. And this is may sound selfish, but you know why it's good to give thanks to God? Because it's good for us. Anyone know a thankless person, someone whom you would call a complainer or a grump? They're not being thankful, are they? They're only hurting themselves, though they do have the way about them of being those who destroy every party and those who bring down the house because they're complaining and they're grumpy and they're full of self. Well, giving thanks is an antidote to that. Drives away the complaining bugs. You know that, children. Complaining bugs can make you sick, and they make you someone who has this bad attitude, and it feeds on itself. Well, it's good for us to give thanks. Luther used to say to Melanchthon, his friend, come, Melanchthon, come, let's sing a psalm and drive away the devil. Yes, drive away the devil by singing, making merry in your heart and being thankful. That's so important. And drive away as well the doubt and the lack of assurance that thankless people can only feel. When we're full of thanks, you see, we're showing that God has really filled our cup. When we're drinking this cup of suffering and complaining, we need to drink the cup of salvation and to know that that is the main thing of life. Enjoying the salvation of God. Then we're the thankful people. And then another reason it's good, and there's probably a dozen more, is that it's good for others. It's good for others when we are giving thanks and the good thanks. It's good and beneficial to them. It's good for this church. People of God, do you realize that the witness that we give in a congregation at Sovereign Grace Church is the witness of a thankful people? Never was anyone drawn to a church by a grumpy people. Never was anyone drawn to a church by a complaining people. Certainly, people were driven away from a church that was always fighting and bickering about the color of the carpet or the acoustic panels or whatever. But people are drawn to a church when they see Christ in us and His Spirit overwhelming us and flooding us so that it floods and spills out into everyone's life. It even shows on our faces. We smile, not a pasted sort of smile, but something that comes from the knowledge that God is our God. Families, congregation, are we this thankful people? It's good. Well, I have now several things to remind us of how, and then a final point. Several things, I count 10 or so, about this thanks. I want to be really clear on this. First of all, it's praised thanks. See, that's the difference, really, between American thanks and Christian thanks. American thanks is thanks, whatever that may be. Thanks, yeah, we can't do it. Thanks for the farmers. And we are thankful for the farmers. We are thankful for the sun and the moon and the stars. And we are thankful for satellites. And we are thankful for phones. We are. But we're thankful as a praising people. Very important to remember that. Look at this. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. And the psalmist hastens to say, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Later on, the praises would spill out in the declaration. The wonderful fruitfulness of the people of God, even in old age, is to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. That's so important. So if we would be following the compass, remember, and toward G And GT, in giving thanks, it's always toward God and praising and throwing out the hand, as the Hebrews would describe it, to declare and acknowledge that there is no other God. In our country, which is pluralistic, meaning we allow for all kinds of religions, it's really like Canaan of old. We need to remember that not Baal is God, nor the Babylonians, nor man, but God is God. And we show that in theological thanks, in God-centered thanks. And then for his name, you ever see that and notice that often the name of God appears, and here it is. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, so you sing praises to your name, O Most High. In a recent sermon on the first petition, Hallowed Be Thy Name, we are reminded of the fact that the name of God is God revealed. The name of God is the light of God. It is the appellation, the thing that we want to call Him. Well, you know the name of God. The name of God is Jesus. The revelation of God, par excellence, the brightness of the glory of God is in this one who came to the earth, and whose glory was hid, but now glory, whose glory is exalted, and whose glory will be known in the end of the day, that is God's day, judgment day, when every knee will bow and every tongue confess the name of Jesus. Let's have it begin now. Know and thank God for the name of Jesus, beloved. Then it'll be word thanks. Colossians 3:16 reminds us, in the midst of this exhortation to give thanks in whatever we do, to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We have marching orders here. We have good news here. We have rebukes here. We have directions here. And all is part of the compass, you know. Read your Bibles, children, young people, parents, congregation, minister. Read and know your Bible. Be daily in the Word and meditative upon that Word. This is how we show thanks. And see, there's only one small difference between the Word of God and knowing the Word and being worldly. Think of the one small difference that there is in the words, Word and world. What's the letter, children? L, isn't it? Maybe you can think of hell when you think of that. And the world without the Word, that's like hell, isn't it? It's a word, it's a wordless world. But when you're in the Word, you see, you learn of heaven, and you're on the way to heaven, and you're reminded of the promises that direct us toward north, no, toward Seers, no, toward heaven, yes. So word thanks. And then this we often forget to have. We kind of go through the motions with our thanks. And that's this, exuberant thanks. It's a big word. It means happy thanks. That's why there's all those instruments there in Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And now you can just see the psalmist getting ready here, warming up for praise, and now it's bubbling out. He says, and to declare your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness every night. Here's how: on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. Now that's how our thanks is to be. Musical. Sounding forth. Now, maybe not necessarily with lutes and harps and 10 strings and so on, but could be. Certainly, attitude is here. For one thing, that I'm thankful for my old high school conductor. He would, when the choir was ready to sing, his back would be to the audience, and here we would be. And I'd usually be kind of there in the front row getting an eyeful from him. And here he would be, and he would crack this amazing smile that would cause all of us to smile, and he was reminding us by that we are there more than just to mouth the words. The lesson here, of course, is we are here more than just to mouth the words, I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you and for you. We are here to sing the thanks of God. We're here as the happiest people in the world, the most blessed people in the world, and it's all of grace. We're here to sing the songs of the praise of the God of grace in Jesus Christ. And we're so exuberant because salvation is exaltation. It's not just we're saved from sin and, yeah, thank God we're forgiven and we're saved by the hair of our chinny chin chin or whatever. It's not negative. It's positive. We're saved unto God. We're saved and our enemies are defeated and we triumph over them. Look at what the psalmist is saying. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. Later on, it speaks of a man flourishing in the courts of the Lord. Flourishing. Well, how's your life with God? How's mine? You're flourishing? I'm not talking about a triumphalism and a giddy kind of Christianity and a flippant kind of joy, but a real heart, Christ-exalting, God-exalting, wonderful, triumphant sort of living, over triumphant over your sin and my sin in the name of God. Your habit, my habit, triumphant over that. Take that, devil! So that we stop debating with and dining with the devil. And we love God. It's exalted. Again, more could be said about that, but the psalmist here reminds us, encourages us in his thanks. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness every night. That means every day thanks, all day thanks. That's what that means, morning and evening. It's good to give thanks every day, every part of the day, high noon, Monday morning, Friday night, and even in church. In fact, this psalm here is a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. Speaks of people in the church of Christ. Sabbath day, that's key. God has given a day, made a day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Now in the New Testament, the resurrection day in which we hear the word of the King, the reason to give thanks to God every day on the Lord's day. Here, this day the Lord has made, we attend to the worship of God. We love to be with God's people. Wonderful, great, great gift for thanks is the Sabbath day. And that leads, seventhly, to the fact that thanks is church thanks. Verse 13 of Psalm 92, verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright and so on. But in the house of God, we belong in the house of God. We belong who are members of Christ's body in a local congregation where there we can be the church constituted to be a visible presence of the truth of God. This is where it's delightful to be, and this is where we're planted and our children are planted and called out of the dark and into the light of God, and where we grow once we're planted. And so as we are oriented toward God in earth, we and our children, this is the place where the compass is given and faith is worked to take hold of the compass. Lovely. The direction God gives in His church. And so our church is, or our thanks is church thanks for preaching, for sacraments, and for one another. Do you realize, people of God, how thankful? I hope you don't mind me being personal here. Do you realize how thankful I and my family are for you. You realize that? If you don't, please know that. We love you. We thank God for every one of you, everyone who comes, who is showing Christ. That's what we love here. That's what we all should love, don't you think? Thankful for Christ in the members of the body. Thankful for that Jesus Christ comes by me when you come by me and you encourage me. Thankful for your love and support and your prayers. Thankful we are. Thankful we all ought to be for one another. And look for Christ and say, yes, that person is Christ in my midst, in my life. This is not about clicking together or clubbing together. It's a church, and Jesus has brought us together, and he's bringing others to our midst. We ought to be very encouraged in all things. Well, so we're thankful. And one thing I'll present to you, and again, these are things drawn from the Word of God in general. I could make implications from the text. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High. Implications with regard to this. What I call ABC thanks, and which is a great, great way to spend a Thanksgiving day or a Sabbath day or any day with the family. Everyone goes around the room and you list in detail from A to Z what you're thankful for. Used to do that when our children were little. I think we ought to do that again. A, B, C. Might be hard when you get to X. But the point is, all the things that God has given, all the ways that he's shown himself to be loving, full of loving kindness and faithfulness, never let us down, always blessing, always causing us to prosper. I call it ABC thanks. And we ought to be those who are thankful in the detail. But then, of course, this is going to make us stand out and even to be persecuted, I fear, increasingly, because in this giving thanks, and this is my ninth way, one more to come, in this giving thanks, we are showing we're not like the world. Note here how the psalmist, after he extols the Lord who's great, your works are great, verse 5, he says, your thoughts are very deep. Goes to this, a senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. You see, the world lacks understanding. The Lord lacks understanding not only of justice, but of mercy. The Lord lacks appreciation. They're senseless with regard to the thoughts of God, and certainly with regard to the works of God. The world is really not thankful to God. Rather, it would push and hold under the truth, Romans says, in unrighteousness, and give maybe a semblance of thanks to whomever or whatever, but it's all a bunch of hypocrisy. It's not according to true knowledge and righteousness and holiness that befits the image bearers of God. It's this senseless, selfish, Black Friday is everything sort of thanksgiving that is a stench in the nostrils of God. We stand out when we avoid that kind of stuff, even though we can go to the stores and get a deal. We avoid being consumed by the consumerism and all this stuff. Last way that we should think of giving thanks, well, last aspect of thanks, it's forever. Psalm 30. Reminds us, as the psalmist says at the end, O Lord my God, I will give you thanks, give thanks to you forever. That's verse 12 of Psalm 30. I will give thanks to you forever. Now my final point. Is that really true? I will give thanks to you forever. What I'm hinting at is that this seems to be impossible very hard, as a brother was reminding me as we walked into church, to give thanks once, let alone forever or continually, isn't it? And what I want to deal with at this point and leave you with is the struggle that we have to give thanks and that to lead you to Christ. We have many losses and hurts in life. Sometimes we can wander from the compass and we go north, south, east, or west here below, but we're forgetting G and we're leaving off good things. God encourages us in this text, stay the course, stay the course. And some of us may have difficulty with that. Some of us, even in this, in our congregation, have lost even loved ones. And we grieve, and we have grieved, and we still cry, and we still wonder sometimes, and we wonder, how in the world is this a time to give thanks? I get the mourning thing, I get the hoping thing, but how in the world, in this, in my world, can I possibly show thanks? Well, I suggest to you, it may not be the exuberant, bubbly type of thanks that we're called to give always, but maybe thanks takes the form of patience, meekness. I think that's something that James is alluding to when he says, "And when you fall into trial and tribulation, count it all joy, for faith works patience and long-suffering," and things like that. You see, God has many ways of teaching us, and there's many ways then of showing thanks, and it may just be with a patience and an understanding that God is working in us, and we don't get it right now, and the joy isn't altogether there, but still there's a something there, and the something is of God. That's what I would leave with you, dear ones. When the things are taken away, the persons, the relationships, when you mess up, and when it seems as if nothing is going right, remember, God is always working right. He's always your God. He's faithful. Always. And so in the trials even, and in the losses, I want to contend for all of us who have the difficulties. God is wise. God's timing is perfect. God's way is beyond our understanding. Remember, be not like the wicked. They don't get it. They deny the Trinity because 1 + 1 + 1 can't equal 1, they say. They deny the existence of God because if there was a God, why is there evil? They deny the only way, Jesus Christ, because, well, that's too censorious and that's too judgmental of God himself. They mess up on all of the hard things of life, but people of God, we were made for such a time as this because there's a gospel here, that there's a God whose way is not our ways and whose thoughts are not our ways and whose Christ is salvation, whose delivering his only Son is the reason why there's salvation and there's hope and there's joy, and mourning turned one day into dancing and grief and sorrow into joy. Now that is your compass. This is your compass. It points to God. It orients you and your children and me and my children toward heaven, in the midst of the things good and evil, and all the day, take up the compass, hear the word of God, go forth on the journey. And it's good, know this, good to give thanks all the way home. Amen. Thanks, Lord, is what we give to you. It's good. Speak to us, Heavenly Father. Continue to speak in the echoes of a sermon, the echoes of a psalmist. And may, Lord, we sing and be exuberant about our thanks, for you are worthy. Thanks for loving us, Lord. for bearing long with us, for working all things together for good to those who love you, who are the called according to your purpose. Thanks for loving us and calling us and purposing to save us. And even now, your right hand, your Son is at your right hand, ever living to make intercession for us that the word we've heard may be made good to our souls for good thanks now and forever. Amen.